Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, welcome back. It is the Wendy's Big Show. No Leroy Butler, no Gary Ellerson, no Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. My name is Tim Allen, in for the boys today as we're embarking on a holiday weekend and the weather nice here in the upper Midwest. You guys probably want to get aired out a little bit, and I don't blame you. I'm with you. I am headed out to my patio tonight with a bottle of whiskey and an ashtray. And tomorrow, just sort of chill. Sunday, a big family barbecue, 15, 20 people out in the yard. So looking like things are opening up a little bit. And it also, we had on Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, just a couple of minutes ago. And he was saying the NFL, you know, they have a little time to play with here. But never too early to start thinking about fantasy football since the draft. Now you re-rank and you start taking a look at things in a little more detail. We'll hit the Great Midwest Bank hotline and welcome in the Godfather. He is Tom Kesnick. Tom, Tim here. Nice to talk to you again.
Hey, Tim. Good to talk to you, too. Hope you're doing okay right now.
Yeah, hanging in there. And now let's start with where Aaron Rodgers in. That's been sort of the conversation. You've been talking to the guys in the Big Show about Aaron Rodgers a little bit and in your other endeavors. I noticed his MVP odds were 25-1, Dak Prescott at 9, Kyler Murray at 16, and I always sort of factor those types of things in. Has Aaron Rodgers in fantasy football dropped out of the top 10?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And he was not a top 10 quarterback last season. So it's a direct reaction to that. It's a direct reaction to what many people certainly look at the Packers offseason and go, they didn't do anything to help him. He right now in our contest, the National Fantasy Football Championship, is the 11th quarterback being drafted. Now it is close. He's in a group of guys, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Josh Allen's right behind him. So actually him and Josh Allen are pretty close. But as of right now, Rodgers is outside the top 10. I would not expect him, as we get closer and closer to what we all hope will be the start of the season, I would not expect him to get ahead of Brady or Breeze, for example. And I could see Josh Allen moving ahead of Rodgers. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Rodgers drop a bit. I don't think he'll move up anymore.
Man, it's just so stunning to me, and maybe the years are just going by too quick, Tom, but you know, you mentioned it used to be in fantasy football that it was just lock it in. It was Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and then the rest, and now, you know, they're on the bubble there in the top 10. It's just crazy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, they're all older quarterbacks, obviously, but you know, you look at Brees and Brady by comparison to Rodgers, and they're both on teams with significantly more talent around them to use. Now, clearly Aaron Rodgers has a great number one wide receiver in Devontae Adams, and he has a great running back in Aaron Jones, but outside those two, not a lot there. You know, you go to New Orleans, they've got Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, Jared Cook, they signed Emmanuel Sanders, and of course Brady goes to Tampa Bay, and they're flat out loaded in the passing game. So it's easy to see why those veteran quarterbacks are ahead of Rodgers right now. And then comparatively to Josh Allen, who's right on Rodgers' heels, they also upgraded their offense. with Stephon Diggs, but also Josh Allen is a very mobile quarterback. So in fantasy football, when you have a quarterback that can move and get rushing production on top of passing production, even if it's not to the level of Lamar Jackson, for example, but if a guy can do that, he really helps you from a fantasy perspective. Rodgers used to do that. He doesn't do it as much in his later years of his career.
You know, I've been looking at over the years, Tom, as you know, you're very successful in the fantasy football world. You start looking into the details. The devil's in the details, right? So you have to look at, has there been wholesale changes at the on the offensive line? Is there a different offensive coordinator? Things like that. I think I never used to look into things like that and playing this sport of fantasy football since 88, but look at the San Francisco 49ers, and you see how they run the ball, and you have to take that into consideration. Yeah, we all love George Kittle, but I know in comparison to the rest of the tight ends, he's probably, if not at the top, up toward the top. But if you compare what they do, they like to run the football. That has to factor in. In Green Bay, it looks as if they want to just, no offense, but dummy it down a little bit in terms of the flash and run the football. Tennessee, I think, might be a team that's similar to Green Bay's offense, but at least Tennessee can still flare it up and they've got some weapons. How many of those factors need to come into your draft?
Well, you certainly, if you're serious about playing fantasy football, you really are doing it. You want to win. And if you're playing in a money league like we offer, you do want to do well. You have to factor all of those things in. Offensive line is huge. We've seen time and time again where offensive line injuries cripple a team offensively, right? And then you do look at offensive coordinators. You look at systems. You know, Andy Reid's a great example. Here's one of the reasons why Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a top 20 pick right now, even though he hasn't played a down in the NFL. It's because when Andy Reid has a starting running back, those starting running backs tend to be elite fantasy producers. Even Damian Williams, the last mm-hmm. 2 years when he's been on the field, has produced at an elite level. But you've got, you go to Kareem Hunt, Jamal Charles, you go back to the Philadelphia days, LeSean McCoy, Brian Westbrook, on and on and on. So people look at not just the talent that Clyde Edwards-Helaire has, and he's a talented running back, but they look at the system that Andy Reid produces. All of those things factor in. What does a team want to do? You're right. If a team wants to be predominantly a run-first heavy team, maybe you back off the quarterback. You mentioned Tennessee. People are backing off Ryan Tannehill this year, even though to close out last season, Ryan Tannehill was an elite fantasy football quarterback. He was putting up big numbers.
Yeah, Tennessee to me is a pretty, I think they're a hidden gem here, but that's just on a football sense. So we get burned. Tom Kesnick, our guest here, the Godfather here on the Wendy's Big Show. Sparky and I, over the years, Tom, you know this, we've always talked about our 16-team, five-keeper league, and it's big money and things like that. Nowhere near the kind of scraps that you get into, but nonetheless, bigger money. I made a huge mistake, and it was based on an expert, and we get sold on some of these things where we don't want to change. As my fifth keeper, I kept a Dante Pettis because last year at exactly this time, he was the thing. It was the new Steve Smith is Dante Pettis. And I threw back, Tyler Lockett is the guy I threw back.
Ouch.
And that was a huge, huge mistake. And warn people, even though, I mean, you know your stuff, but even though it's their decision, you got to be careful about the factors that you listen to.
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm not going to critique that decision. I love Tyler Lockett, so I'm not going to critique that. But I will say you're 100% right about Dante Pettis. The fantasy industry was gaga over him. And last year, I had him in a few leagues that I drafted because I, like everyone else, was looking at the 49ers, and they were like, Dante Pettis is going to be the guy. But then we got into training camp. All of a sudden, we weren't hearing about Dante Pettis anymore. We were hearing about Deebo Samuel a lot, but you weren't hearing anything about Dante Pettis, who was supposed to be their number one wide receiver. And when these kind of things, those are things you got to pay attention to, the stories, the reports that are coming out, when all of a sudden you're not hearing boo about a guy who that everybody was supposed to be excited about. And the reason we weren't hearing anything about him was because he had a horrible training camp and the coaches pretty much moved on, you know, and it burned a lot of people. But those are the things. I mean, you're right. We're sitting here in May right now. We don't have the benefit of OTAs as we normally would. But assuming we get to a training camp and all those things start coming back into play, you do need to pay attention to what's going on in those camps. You can't just assume because in April everybody was excited about player X, that means in August and September they're still going to be excited about player X. Things change, and in the NFL, things change quickly.
They really do. Just a couple of quick things here. Since we're through the draft here, who are some of the guys that you would give our listeners some advice to in terms of rookies? And there's always a few rookies that do the splash and end up in top 10 at their position. Any guys that you want to eyeball here?
Well, I'll avoid the obvious guys. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the number one rookie being drafted. Jonathan Taylor is number two. Everybody in Wisconsin knows about Jonathan Taylor, so I don't have to go into that. So I'll dig a little deeper. Later in your draft for a rookie running back that I really like a lot is Cam Akers. Now, he could be part of a committee with the Rams, but I do think he is a superior talent, and superior talents have a way of working themselves out, even as rookies. He is somebody I certainly like much later at the running back position among rookies. And then you can drop down even lower and go to somebody like Zach Moss, who's in Buffalo. Devin Singletary is the starter, but they want Zach Moss and a power element in their running game. So he is somebody that I would absolutely be looking at later in your draft at the running back position. Wide receivers, again, you know, we're looking at the top guys, you know, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, you know. I'm not sure either of those guys is going to be a high-impact rookie player because Judy's in an offense that has Cortland Sutton, CeeDee Lamb's in an offense that has Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. But both are certainly guys I think you can look at later in your draft, have them on your bench, and see how things go. At the quarterback position, it's Joe Burrow. He's the one rookie quarterback who is clearly locked into a starting job right now. And I think he is a guy who's got tremendous upside. The Bengals have a ton of talent at the skill positions. They are loaded. Their receiving core is really, really good, but it all hinges on the health of A.J. Green. Joe Mixon and Gio Bernard is a terrific 1-2 punch in the backfield. I really like the Bengals this year. I mean, they're the Bengals, so anything crazy can happen to, you know, kind of derail everything. But from a talent perspective offensively, they really are putting something together pretty impressive, I think.
That is good stuff. Tom Kesnick, just finally, I know you have a draft or two in Las Vegas. Now what? I mean, it looks like they're going to open up next month, but you still shooting for that?
We still are. I mean, you know, we've got our live events are in New York and Las Vegas. Unfortunately, we had to cancel them for baseball, and we had them in New York, Chicago, and Vegas, and that was back in March when everything, you know, kind of went bonkers on us all. We're still hoping to have them. The good news is with our contest, everything can be converted to online if we had to do that. We hopefully don't have to do that. We would like to have the live events because it's a great experience. People really love it. They love coming to New York. They love coming to Vegas. Hopefully we'll be able to do that. If not, and if there is a season, which hopefully there will be, we can still do everything we offer online and still have a great contest for everybody to be in.
Nice. Throw out a quick website or some contact info, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. PlayNFSC.com is our website. We've got drafts that go on every single day. Entry fees are sort of low as $25. You don't have to be a high roller to play with us. You can get into a great league for as low as $25 and have a great time. And most importantly, win really good money with us. We have great prizes. So again, that's PlayNFSC.com.
Awesome. Tom, always a pleasure, man. Good luck, okay?
Thanks, Tim.
All right, there he is, Tom Kesnick, the godfather of fantasy football. Been talking to that guy for, oh, man, a long time, well over a decade. There's Tom Kesnick on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMeadowsBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
Scooter Jeanette had a conversation with us yesterday. You're going to want to hear this. Pretty candid former Brewer Scooter Jeanette, who is currently a free agent, talks about the baseball situation next year on the Wendy's Big Show on The Fan. Welcome back, Milwaukee. It's the Wendy's Big Show. Served up hot and fresh here. Tim Allen in for the boys today. No Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Leroy Butler. Well-deserved time off. They've got a nice long weekend as things starting to loosen up a little bit. Restrictions might give you a little freedom to get out and about a little bit. Air things out, open up the windows, and be safe, I guess, would be the main thing with whatever you're doing. But we appreciate you tuned in. Yesterday, a lot of conversation, obviously, in and around the sports world about the baseball situation. Not only the economic battle, but the agreement to keep the players and the staff safe. We talked to Pat Murphy yesterday, Brewers bench coach, about lost in the shuffle here. Out of all the quotes that I've read so far on the show today, we're calling it quote-a-thon. Only one player has referred to the coaches thus far, and that was Max Scherzer. So Pat Murphy says that it's an opportunity for baseball to put its mark on this pandemic a little bit. And Scooter Jeanette, now a free agent, had a conversation with us yesterday. Some interesting points, not only about the pandemic, but about his player view. And again, keep in mind he's a free agent, but a player's perspective view and what he had negotiated potentially with heading to another team in the spring. Check this out from yesterday.
Well, to be honest, I still don't have a job. I didn't get any offers I felt like were good enough. So with that being said, I haven't paid too much attention, to be completely honest. I've heard talk here and there, some chatter here and there, but if I had a job, like if I was in spring training to begin with and then they stopped it, I think obviously I'd be more involved and be in those union meetings, stuff like that. But I honestly think, just from what I've heard, I think that, number one, baseball is, people are kind of getting a little pissed, you know. There's some people that are like, you know what, if they don't resolve this, like, I'm done. Like, people aren't that happy with baseball, with the Astros stuff. Like, there's those original fans that follow, and they're, you know, diehard fans. That's what keeps baseball going. So I think that there's no way that they can't have a season, because if they don't have a season or something or come to an agreement on some sort, I think they might lose the fans. So, and we can't play without, people paying to come watch us play, or TV deals, stuff like that. So I think no matter what, they're going to have to resolve, give and take, do whatever, but come to an agreement, because ultimately no one wins if they don't.
Scooter, I got to say, my viewpoint on this is I totally respect the players and you guys that have earned the right to stay home if you want. I get that. Hell, if I had the money and I didn't feel safe, I'd just tuck in here at home with my son and just not go out right at all. I mean, but I can't afford that luxury. I don't make that kind of money. And I respect what the players
and there's
do.
There's a lot of guys, Tim. There's a lot of guys that haven't. A lot of baseball players, not 90% of them, that aren't comfortable, like, financially. So, there's only about 10% of guys on each team that are making the type of money in 1 year that they can retire for the rest of their life, right? The other guys, those rookies, the guys that haven't made it to arbitration yet, those guys might have a couple hundred grand in the bank, but that ain't life-changing money, So that's what's tough. And then on those union meetings, there's guys that speak up, right? And it tends to be the guys that get hurt the most are the guys that are making the most, right? Like, those are the leaders on the team. Those are your Ryan Braun's. Those are your guys that have been around. Those are the guys that have earned the right to speak and talk. But the problem is, it's not the 90% or 80% of the guys that don't have a whole lot of money that are like, man, like, You know, so there's that with the players, and it's not like the players on the same page. It's just some guys have the right to say certain things, and it tends to be the guys that have already established themselves that have the money. So it's almost not as beneficial for those other players that are rookies because they feel like their voice isn't going to get heard as much. So I'm sure there is some conflict in there, but like you said, it's nine times out of 10, it's about money.
It is, and I think a lot of people need to understand, crawling through the minor leagues with you guys, you're paid peanuts. I mean, it's like $1,500 a month.
I was making $356 my first year in Appleton every 2 weeks after taxes, $356. And it had moved up since our coaches, we had an older coach. He's like, that's what I was getting paid 30 years ago. So, you know, yeah, there's struggle in the minor leagues. And then they're talking about taking teams away and stuff. And like I said, Tim, I've been away from it a little bit because I didn't have a job going into all this. But I do know that once those replays started, once you start changing things within something that's worked, you know, well for so many years, yes, there's the strike, in the 80s, 90s. Those guys had to do those things to where the ownership, the business aspect doesn't take advantage and basically take over the game of baseball. And it definitely is heading in that direction. So that's where the players really, it's an important time right now to stick together and make sure that, hey, no, you need to realize that we're the game. We're no cards because we're the game, but yet when they poke and pry and take advantage of certain guys and blah, 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 and, you know, oh, let's do the replays or let's try to speed up the game, all this and all that, once you let them in on that, they won't stop until they're sharks and we're baseball players and all we have is each other. So I think right now that's probably what they're talking about. Hey, let's stick together. Hey, if we don't play, you know, at least we don't conform to everything that they say, because then in a few years from now, no one will be making money. It'll all be, well, either play baseball or we have another guy we could pay, you know, that isn't as good, but we don't care because we just want money.
Yeah. And that, Scooter, I got to say, is why the owners and the players, they just have to work together. What happened with – I know there's a lot of details, Scoot. I get that. But what happened with the good old-fashioned handshake, look me in the eye, and just integrity in the business world?
Millennials. Millennials. I'm a millennial. I found myself in between millennial and whatever it was before. But just technology, I mean, people's attention spans are so short now. They've done studies. I mean, all those things are involved, but like I said before, number one, we cannot lose those original baseball fans, because if you don't have them, you never know what you're going to get, you know? So once you start changing the game, which has already happened, mound visits, whatever, the slide rule, all that, once you start down that road, it could be a very slippery slope. And they're not dumb. Like, these people aren't dumb. Like, when you're talking about a trillion-dollar industry, they have some really smart people working for them, you know what I mean? And over time, if you allow them control, give them a little bit too much control, then, because they're not the original baseball fan that I'm talking about. They're oh yeah, baseball's cool, but they see a dollar amount. They don't care about the game. They don't care about if it's played the right way. They don't care about any of that. They care about dollars. That's it. So that's just where we are now in every aspect. Every business is big, big mega businesses. Unfortunately, at the end of the day, they say, well, it's just business. Well, not for me, because I played this game for the love of it. And, you know, yeah, I need to make money and take care of myself, but that's not why they're in it. They're not in it for the love. They're in it for the dollars. And there's just those kind of businesses and corporations, and then there's some that are nice. You know, it's almost like just go join in a men's adult league baseball game and have a good time and not have to worry about dealing with any of that. I've made some money and I don't need to play for money. How's that sound?
Yeah, it's awesome, Scooter. And you know what? You have earned that, though, and that's the thing. I've been talking about it on the air that you've earned that, and I think that the investment of time, effort, and money that you and your family put into getting where you got to has to be taken into account here. All of that stuff, man. It's just too bad. The whole love of the game, baseball, is such a cool thing. I mean, I make my living at it, and you obviously do too, but it's such a cool thing. I hope they get it together. I really do.
I think they will, but like I said, it's an important time for the players to you know, have each other's backs, to be on the same page, just to hold their grounds, you know, stay in their ground, because this is, you know, unlike anything that's ever happened before. So if these things pop up down the road and they take control and do everything that they want to do, and we just sign it and say, okay, yeah, we'll do that every time, eventually we're not, or what do we have a union for? You know, what do we, you know, it's like the Teamsters union back in the day. My grandpa was a truck driver. Like, those guys weren't nice in those meetings. Those guys were standing up screaming because they're tired of getting taken advantage of, and that's where we're at. I mean, it's never going to stop, so I just hope that it nothing else in the game changes, that they don't try to, you know, only play seven innings because people can't keep their 90% of people watching can't keep their attention. They change the channel. Like, that's stupid. What about the 10% that are watching every game, that love the game as much as we do? What about them? You know, and that's what's sad is, It's all about the views, Tim. It's all about the money, all about the views, and unfortunately, you lose some of that love in there for the game.
It is just too bad. Well, Scooter, I want to wish you good luck, man. I want to see you on a diamond somewhere. Once they open up here, to sign a deal somewhere. We want to see you play ball, man.
Yeah, I just wanted incentives, and they didn't want to give me incentives. I didn't get a guaranteed offer to make this team out of camp. And I was like, okay, but give me some incentives. And they said $500,000, $700,000 is it. I'm like, well, I can make an all-star team still. Like, how about we do, like, if I make an all-star team, there's $500. If I win the Silver Slugger, there's $500. If I get 400 at-bats, 500 at-bats, I'm an everyday player, there's $500. You know, to where at the end of the day, I'm a $20 million player, and they've only had to pay me 8 or 9 or 10. But they didn't want to do that, so they made the decision pretty easy for me.
Yeah, there he is, Scooter Gennett, former Brewers, Reds, and Giants second baseman, joined me yesterday on the Bill Michaels Show. Interesting, he's throwing out those numbers in terms of negotiating. That's somewhat rare. We'll continue with our quote-a-thon today, all things around sports return, and we've got experts' quotes, former players, current players. And stick around, WIAA, what does the reopening mean for your kids' athletics? We'll have an expert in less than an hour from the WIAA join us here on the Wendy's Big Show. Tim Allen in for the boys today, Gary Ellerson off, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer off, Leroy Butler off. We're keeping you company until 6 here on the Wendy's Big Show, AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back. It's the Wendy's Big Show. Tim Allen in for the boys today. Some much-deserved time off. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Well, two of the three ain't bad. We'll be back on Tuesday. And I'll be back here with you guys on Tuesday, along with Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler. So stick around for that. Pick a lane coming up. Also, again, you have kids in high school athletics, so we'll get the latest on the WIAA, which is releasing some sort of plan, some guidelines. We'll make heads or tails out of that in about a half hour from right now. But we've been dubbing this afternoon quote-a-thon, as Dan Plucker and Sam Schmitz and myself just been hanging out. I compiled a boatload of quotes in and around the world of sports and the pandemic, how they connect and how we want to reopen, but we want to reopen safely, and you know all the parameters surrounding that. It's a tough call, and I'm appreciative of the fact that I don't have to make those decisions, but somebody does, and they have to take all this information into account. It's just amazing how the different perspectives are. Some from players and former players and executive directors of health services and all the way up to governors, et cetera. It's amazing how it just appears to swerve all over the road, but I think that's a little judgmental because we haven't gone through this before and there's no real roadmap to it. We just have to go on the fluid notion that things may change. And, for example, Tom Glavine. He had some comments I thought were really interesting in this one. Quote, "You might take the blame for the sport not resuming," he was referring to the players, "if it were to come down to an economic issue and that's the reason why baseball didn't come back. You're looking at a situation similar to the strike back in the 90s as far as fans are concerned. Even if players were 100% justified in what they're complaining about, they're still going to look bad. That's going to be the perception if, and that's a big if, Major League Baseball does not come back because of a money battle." More from Glavine. Quote, "I understand that a big part for all of us getting back to our normal is having sports back, but you cannot dismiss a player's concern for his health or his family's health." And I totally agree with that, without question. Any more than you would dismiss your own concerns. If I were playing today, I would not say, hell no, I'm not playing. But of course, I would have a concern once I step out that door. And you go back into that world, there's a chance you're bringing something home to your family. It's 100% fair for coaches, players, everybody to be concerned about that. I fully agree with that. But again, as those of you that were tuned in yesterday and a little bit of today knows that there is a philosophy out there that parallels, and I agree with this, that parallels your job to the baseball player's job. Quote, job. And it is their job. That's their business, but so is yours. So the safety of you going back to work does parallel a Major League Baseball player. Yeah, are they praised a little bit more than the Harley-Davidson factory worker? Of course they are. But it doesn't diminish the parallel between, I want to be safe going back to work. They're justified in that comment, so are you. Now, the problem is, what happens when you don't feel safe going back to work? That's the debate that's going on. It's a tough one. It make no mistake. I'm not disagreeing that it's not tough. St. Louis Cardinals Paul DeJong, that quote, "The daily testing I'm a fan of, the determined status to determine the status of us every day. But given that, I'd like to see the freedom operating in the clubhouse and on the field. We'd all be willing to make some sacrifices as far as risks away from the field, if that means limited exposure outside the field and in the hotel and at home, then that's what it has to look like. Just the things inside the clubhouse we'd like to see intact as possible. Not being able to be in the indoor batting cage, the batting gloves, the sunflower seeds, the spitting thing. What if I got dirt in my mouth? Silly, but I understand where they're coming from." That's Paul DeJong. Before the break here, I want to get a caller. And we haven't been doing that too much today. To River Hills, Trent, we say hello to you. You're on the Wendy's Big Show.
It's great hearing your voice again.
Thanks. I can't wait to do a Brewers postgame show, for sure.
Just replay one of them from last year and then do some commentary on it. That would be good. The thing, I can understand the players' reluctance to go out there. Yes, their contracts are guaranteed, but it's all about potential future earnings, and we don't know the long-term effects if you have an actual outbreak of this and someone goes through where it devastates their body and they can't play baseball again. All Major League Baseball needs to do is go out, hire a firm to do an evaluation of all the players' potential future earnings, and then go out and ensure that for potential exposure and then contracting the disease and then not being able to play baseball again because of the effects of the COVID.
And you could say, I understand where you're coming from, because you could really make the argument that baseball is a game of opportunity. And when you're injured or you're hurt, imagine a prospect that middle 20th round, 30th round. There's 40 rounds of draft in baseball. Say you were drafted 31st round and, you know, you had something good going, you get hurt, or in this case, you get the virus. And that could have affected one guy or one game or one situation that propelled you up the charts and got you going. I could see that argument. It's tough to project.
And then we're not talking about minor leagues. Those are still shut down. But the thing that I would say, all these players, if that's the union's concern, there's an easy answer out there for them. And all the other sporting events have taken advantage of this for years. Wimbledon got shut down early, and so did the British Open, because they were insured and they got paid on it.
But if the company doesn't make their money, then how do we discuss that, you know?
Well, the company is making the money because they're going to make at least 60% of their annual revenue from broadcast rights. And that's out there, so, I mean, yeah, they're going to take a haircut on the 40%, but the sport is actually still going. I agree with the other caller about you're going to have this hangover effect if they don't come back, where you're going to lose, especially the younger kids, interest in the game. And it took them 6 years and, you know, giving free steroids to everybody to get everybody back into baseball, the fans.
Yeah, I hear you. It did take a while, and that somewhat surprised me, but that was a reality. Trent, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. That was the reality. We'll take more of your calls at the top of the hour here in just a couple of minutes, 799-1250, but you see the differing viewpoints all over the place. 40% of the revenue in baseball, according to the owners, is based on fan attendance. 40% of their revenue. So they only get 60%. Are they still making a profit? Some studies out there have shown that the Milwaukee Brewers would lose somewhere around $139 million. But yet, the value of the organization continues to rise each and every year. So does that get incorporated into this, quote, 50-50 split? It's tough. Guys, it's so tough. I wouldn't want to make that decision. I really wouldn't. 799-1250. Brandon Kinsler, former Brewer, quote, "Not getting to use any of the facilities that help recover our bodies is going to be a problem," end quote. Good point. They could end up getting hurt if they can't use the saunas, the steam rooms, the ice baths, all those things, the training rooms, all of those things help recover their body or maintain their body's health. Yeah, interesting stuff. We'll get to more of these quotes in the Tim Allen Quote-a-thon today. I've compiled, those of you that are working and on your way back home, I've compiled no fewer than 50 or 60 quotes here, everyone from infectious disease experts to ball players to managers, the union side, the owner side, the nine yards. You get it all of these quotes, and we'll discuss as we move along here. Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh. No Gary, Leroy, Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Tim in for the gang today. AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back. It's the Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh, a Friday edition. No Leroy Butler, no Gary Ellerson, no Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. They all took off on the same day. Dan Plucker's here. It is Sam Schmitz and myself, Tim Allen, keeping you company here. An hour to go and some more quotes as we have compiled a pretty big time, pretty extensive list of quotes all around the sports and infectious disease experts, including health department, CDC quotes, former players, current players, you name it. We've got the quotes here. Interesting how the perspectives are, I won't say completely at odds, but how they differ. I think that's a good way to put it. Here's something, and here's someone on the Great Midwest Bank hotline that's going to help you out a little bit. Dan Hlava, co-owner of Landmark Golf Course Products. Dan, how are you? Thanks for the time.
I'm pretty good, and you?
More important, how you are. Tell me about Landmark Golf Course Products, because what I'm reading here makes a whole hell of a lot of sense.
Well, Landmark, we started off as Landmark Studio in the early 90s as a manufacturer of three-dimensional displays and signs for the sign industry and the display industry. Then in 1995, after a lot of pushing from my father, because he was a big golfer, he wanted us to do something for golf courses, and we ended up selling to a local golf course a number of products. And ever since then, Landmark has been into golf courses and selling products to them. Then after a short period of time, we realized that there really was a need for some really nice-looking products for the industry. And in that year, in 2002, we introduced a full line of real wood products. We called it Rhino Wood, but everybody else knows it as Ipe. There's a lot of people that probably have Ipe decks and such. And this type of wood is a very nice wood for the outdoors. It's very dense, and it's not susceptible to rot or decay. And with its rich, dark color, it's perfect for the golf industry. Everybody,
yeah, and it has to look. It has to withstand the elements, because obviously on a golf course it's just getting sun beaten all the time. These are golf course accessories. You guys have outfitted about 80 of the top 100 courses throughout the United States, 50 states, many different continents, many different countries. It's big time.
Yeah, actually, I just loaded up a truck earlier this morning for a load that was going over to Russia. So we just got done outfitting a course in Russia, which is always exciting.
And if you're interested, if you're a golf course in the area interested in sprucing things up with some quality products for your golf course, how do they get in touch, Dan?
Well, they could give us a call, and our phone number is 888-337-7677, or our email is rhinowood.com. They can take a look at things that we have right there. We have a link to our digital catalog right on our website.
Yeah, and you have the COVID hole covers and some plexiglass for the times here. Real quick, tell us about that.
Well, you know, the USGA came up with this idea of how could they make the golfing safer and not having people touching, you know, everything. So they said you could raise the cup up, and if the ball hits the cup, they would consider that to go in. And, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm a golfer, I'm looking at that, and I'm like, well, if my ball hits the cup, it's really not even close to having gone into that hole if it just hits on the edge. I said, there's got to be a better way. So I just started thinking about it and realized that if we just make this what we call the COVID cover and have it just sit on the insert inside the hole so that your ball can roll into the cup like it normally is supposed to, but yet it doesn't fall all the way down into the hole. And you can easily just reach in there and pull it out by hand, or you could just take your club and just flick it out. And we've been getting great response with that. We've been looking at that situation, knowing what everybody is, you know, in tough times, we decided, you know what, let's just give them away. So we've been giving them away to courses all over the United States, and a lot of great response that we're getting from that. And then, of course, we just started looking at other things that we could potentially do to help people, you know, with sneeze guards, if you want to call them. And we're even looking at developing a divider that people could put in their golf carts. You know, some states, they still don't want people next to each other that don't know each other, in a sense. But I mean, who rides in a golf cart with somebody that you don't know? It's usually your buddy, and you know everywhere he's been, and he knows everywhere you've been. So that's something that I don't know if that's really going to go anywhere, but there are people that are asking for it.
Co-owner Dan Hlava, Alava. That's it. Yeah, of Landmark Golf Course Products. We appreciate the time, Dan. Thanks for the info. Landmark Golf Course Products. And check those guys out. All right, Dan, enjoy your weekend, all right?
Okay, going golfing tomorrow.
There he is. You along with a lot of people over the weekend. We'll hit a break here, come back, and continue with our quote-a-thon. If you want to join us, 414-799-1250. A lot to unpack, a lot of different angles. That's really an understatement. Tim Allen in for the guys today. Gary Ellison, Leroy Butler, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Have the day off, and, well, two of the three will be back on Tuesday. We've got an hour to go, and WIAA has put some guidelines out for your kids' high school sports. I'm about a half hour away from that information as well. Here on the Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh, AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.